in world events, we really focused on the Middle East. And joining us now, Lieutenant Colonel Alan West. He was the congressman in the 22nd district in Florida. Colonel, what do you think? What do you think that of Dick Cheney's comments that if we don't attack ISIS now, they're going to be attacking us here at home, and it's going to be worse than 9/11?
Well, I thank you, and it's good to be back with you, Brian, and it's great seeing you last week.
Yep.
The Vice President's assessment is spot on, because what you see happening is a repeat of exactly what occurred in Afghanistan after the Soviets pulled out, and we did not engage in Afghanistan. They had a civil war. The Taliban took over there, and they invited in al-Qaeda, and al-Qaeda then exported terrorism globally, and we saw 9/11. We saw attacks on our embassies, things of that nature. So you have the exact same thing happening with this creation of an Islamic caliphate under ISIS's control. And if you read papers out of the Middle East, these guys aren't stopping. They're turning their focus toward Jordan even right now.
Right away. And they took some of the passages back and forth to Syria. So that road's wide open. So are the targets. Unbelievably, we got to blow up our own Humvees that they stole and some of our own ammunition, which they're using. But, you know, Senator Graham said yesterday, let's start hitting some of these targets. Let's start bombing first their depots in Syria. What would that mean? How significant would that be? And what's at stake if we do that?
Well, the thing is, you have to understand that you're fighting against an enemy that has no respect for borders and boundaries. As a matter of fact, ISIS posted pictures on social media of them bulldozing down the berm that separated Syria and Iraq. And as you just stated, they control the crossing points, Iraq into Jordan and Iraq into Syria. So you have to be able to attack this enemy wherever he presents himself. And in the military, we call that enemy-oriented operations, where wherever he is, his assembly areas, his staging areas, his logistical supply routes, lines of communication, what we call it, that's what you start hitting in order to cut him off as far as his material support and resources so that it begins to dry up.
But how bizarre is this, Colonel? Assad bombed ISIS yesterday. We want to bomb ISIS. Since when are we on the same side as Assad?
Well, I believe what you see happening is a move against secular leadership in the Islamic world, because that's the first thing in establishing an Islamic caliphate. And this guy, al-Baghdadi, has already pretty much been anointed as the new emir of this Islamic caliphate. So therefore, when you have the secular leadership, as you saw in Libya or in Syria, what have you, they want that to be gone because they want a borderless empire, a borderless caliphate, much the same as what you had back during the time of the Ottoman Empire. That's what they're trying to restore.
Well, listen, I understand they only have about 10,000 guys. Is that correct?
Well, the 10,000 guys may be what they would define as their, army, but, you know, they're starting to gather a lot of support, you know, across the Sunni tribe areas, and we need to be able to somehow cordon off that support and not allow the people who were once, you know, allied with us during the quote-unquote, surge and the Sunni awakening to become a base of support for them. That's why you have to have a very strong information operation. You know, I would be, you know, proposing, things such as leaflet drops of that nature to try to cut them off from having that type of ground support.
Yeah, but they do. They say 3,000 in Iraq, 7,000 in Syria, between 3,000 and 5,000 of foreign fighters, and then they wheeled in the Baathists to combine with the terrorists, the extremists, and they're chopping off heads and installing Sharia law. That's not going to win people over. Now, yesterday we had General Keane on, who told us, our listeners, that the White House has reached out to him. Remember, he did bring Petraeus back once to save him after McChrystal was ousted after the Rolling Stone article. Might he get the band back together? That's what Keane recommended to us. And if the president did reach out to him, that's, I'm sure, what he recommended to the president. Would you think it would be significant if General Petraeus and Ambassador Crocker went back to Baghdad?
I think it would be incredibly significant, because those were two individuals whose reputation in that part of the world is pretty upstanding. They are trusted, and relationships are very important in that part of the world, and they can potentially make a difference. The problem is this: al-Maliki is leaning toward his Iranian backing and the Shia backing, and Iran is there quite strongly. So if you put them into this situation, Is al-Maliki going to, you know, listen to them and their recommendations when he already has Iranian forces that are on the ground, when he has a Shia militia mm-hmm. that is on the ground willing to fight and to keep him in some semblance of power?
So if I put you in charge right now, Colonel, what would be the most appropriate action with your military background and knowledge of the political spectrum?
First thing I would do is to start striking ISIS strategically and operationally, like I said, with their assembly areas, their logistical support. I would seek to deny them any type of sanctuary that they're trying to establish. I would start making sure that we have good relations with our Kurdish friends up to the north, because they are holding out strong. And look, they could help us in making sure that we cut ISIS off in the north, kind of like what we did in the Korean War with the Incheon landing. And of course, today is the 64th anniversary of the start of the Korean War. So I would look at how we could bring pressure on ISIS militarily. We can bring pressure on them politically with, you know, the association with the Kurdish forces. And then I got to make sure that we let Iran know in no uncertain terms we're not going to seek their assistance or help, because we're not going to give them any type of regional hegemony and influence that is there, because they're still the number one state sponsor of terrorism in the world.
Real quick, on the political spectrum, Senator Thad Cochran seems to be primed to keep his seat for another 6 years, even though he's 86. He holds off Chris McDaniel, a Tea Party guy. You have a huge Tea Party support. What's your reaction to this 6,000-vote margin victory for Cochran?
Well, you know, the one thing that I have to look at is, when are we going to get to the time where we stop having this political elite class and this careerism? You know, you've been there for 36 years. There comes a point in time when you say it's time, you know, that I should step down and I should allow some new blood to come in with new and fresh ideas. And I think another thing that we have to really be concerned about is the allegations of, you know, seeking out Democrat voters to come in and vote in a Republican runoff.
It definitely happened. He definitely went for union members, African-American, lower class, and used the Tea Party platform, which says we're going to cut back social programs in order to balance the budget and incentivize people to get back to work. He used that against McDaniel.
McDaniel, yeah. I got big concerns about that, because, you know, that just exacerbates this whole circular firing squad issue that we have.
Gotcha. Hey, Colonel, always great to hear from you. Colonel Allen West, we'll see if the president's going to make any decision today.
Thanks so much, Brian. You take care.